always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
It remains our view that the fastest way to get to a ceasefire, the fastest way to get hostages home, is through an agreement, and we're determined every single day to pursue that and to try to get it to happen. I think you can question whether Hamas actually wants to get this. It would also be the best way to make sure that we can really surge humanitarian assistance and better protect civilians in Gaza. Hamas purports to be interested in that. Its actions certainly demonstrate the opposite.
4:29, and that is Secretary Anthony Blinken speaking on the Hamas-Israel situation. Joy, thank you for that memory down, that little jaunt down memory lane there with HR Puff and Stuff theme. Love that. Thank you so much. On the line with us, of course, we've got the man that has all the answers, and we'll talk to him next.
Former U.S. Senator Jim Talent and chairman of the Reagan Institute.
I'm watching this and just wondering, you know, who's running the show.
This Jim Talent segment is brought to you by Royal Banks of Missouri.
Senator Talent, good afternoon. Welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing very well. And how are you two fellows doing today?
Doing just fine, Senator. Thanks for joining us.
Can I complain? Senator, I got to ask you your thoughts on the development last week. I think this happened after we talked to you. The Biden administration cut off 2,000-pound bombs. I think it was 3,000 of them to Israel while they're trying to finish their war with Hamas. Your initial thoughts on that, even though the Biden administration says they are with Israel 100%, that this doesn't mean anything opposite of that?
Yeah, well, it's difficult to be both, I'll just say, treasonous and incoherent at the same time. But they managed it. I mean, in the first place, when you have an ally in the middle of a war, you don't cut off the arms that they need. So that's the treasonous is the wrong word. That's the betrayal in this. And then the other thing, the incoherence of it. Why this? And we're sending them other arms. I mean, what? Look, when you follow the kind of policy they followed, and we've talked about this before, so it's based on a foundation that we're going to try and build a partnership with Iran. Okay. So that's fantasy. And when you follow that policy, everybody eventually concludes that you're crazy and you have no influence over anybody. And look at what's happened. And Blinken just said, well, we're working so hard to get an agreement. The last offer from the Israelis, he said, was extraordinarily generous, and Hamas rejected it. Biden draws a red line to, against Israel. Don't go into Rafah. And what is Israel doing right now? Going into Rafah. And the administration is going around saying, oh, the key to all this is a two-state solution, which everybody in the region is laughing at. So, you know, we have influence because of our position, but we don't have influence because of this incredibly, it's a fantastic and incoherent policy that the Biden administration is following. And this is just another example of it. Naturally, of course, it completely alienates the Israelis. It's not going to satisfy these people he wants to satisfy domestically. I think they've already written Biden off. So what's the point of it as a matter of policy or politics or anything?
And Senator,
I don't get it.
Yeah, and Senator, to make matters worse, I know Chris was ready to come out of his chair over the weekend watching the Sunday shows. My jaw dropped as well. All the Democrat surrogates that they sent out to defend the Biden administration on this point kept saying, well, Reagan did it. Reagan did this back in the 80s. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to bet these are two completely different subject matters here. And they're just invoking the name of Reagan once again improperly to justify the fact that Joe Biden continues to be the worst public servant, forget president, the worst public elected official ever on issues of foreign policy. He's been wrong on everything his entire career. Senator, Chris gave a very good takedown of that when we first came into the show, and we thought that you probably would be able to add to it pretty easily.
Yeah, sure. Well, look, in Netanyahu, I just listened to an interview with him, and he was saying, we don't always agree with the Americans on everything, and that's certainly true of the Reagan administration. What I recall from the Reagan administration is Operation Praying Mantis in 1988, when the Iranians were mining the Gulf and threatening shipping, and Reagan ordered the Navy to take out about a third of their Navy, and it stopped. So we didn't have this chaos in the Middle East because we had a policy of strength and a policy of clarity under Ronald Reagan. And we have what we have now because we have the opposite. Okay? And I'm going to tell you, it's a very scary situation because this could easily escalate into a regional war. Instability of this kind in the Middle East is not in our interest. And the way to avoid it is to have come out and stayed strongly behind Israel, enable them to finish off Hamas, support them if they want to turn north to push Hezbollah back beyond the Litani. That would restore deterrence with Iran, and the region would stabilize, and then we could proceed with the Abraham Accords. That's, I believe very strongly, what Trump would have done. Except I don't think the October 6th attack occurs if Trump is president. I don't think they would dare to have done it.
Speaking with Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator and chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council. Also last week, Senator, the Washington Post, with a bombshell report citing four sources, says that the Biden administration offered Israel, quote, sensitive intelligence to help the Israeli military pinpoint the location of Hamas leaders and find the group's hidden tunnels. Your thoughts on that?
Which means, of course, they've been withholding that intelligence to this point. I don't know whether the Israelis knew they had it or not. I wonder if they're aware of the fact that Sinwar and the other Hamas leaders, they stay in safe rooms with hostages there in order to protect themselves. Some of those hostages may be Americans. Has the administration said anything about getting our own people back?
Mm.
Do they feel no responsibility for that? These are Americans who were seized by a foreign power or a subnational movement that was greenlit by a foreign power, the Iranians. And we're doing nothing to get them back. In fact, the actions that we've taken have made it more difficult to get them back. Hamas did give up some hostages. I believe it was about 2 months into the war. And the reason they gave them up was they were under enormous military pressure from the Israelis. At that time, the Biden policy was much stronger in support of Israel. And we didn't have all this anti-Semitic protesting around the world. And so Hamas felt very defensive. And in order to get a ceasefire, they were willing to give up some hostages. That's how we get the hostages back. Right now, they're sitting there saying, well, you know, we're just going to keep the hostages for leverage because we think eventually the Americans are going to force the Israelis to stop. It's as clear as day. Anybody, you know, not at high levels of the Biden administration can see it.
And Senator, I don't know whether or not the Biden administration really gives, you know, two pennies about Hamas or not, and they definitely probably don't care much about the Palestinian people. Senator, behind all this, isn't this all about this continued doctrine, I think you can call it now, of the Biden administration since he's been in office for over 3.5 years, of Iranian appeasement? That's what a lot of this has to do, right? Because isn't Iran behind all this? Hamas is a proxy for Iran, Hezbollah, all these forces. It's this continued desire by the Biden administration, which goes back to the Obama administration, of trying to make Iran, the world's largest state sponsor of terror, happy for some reason. That's what it has to do with, right?
That's right. It's an attempt to build a security arrangement, an equilibrium in the Middle East around a partnership with Iran. Now, what Trump was doing, which reflects past policies by American administrations, was to build a security arrangement around a partnership, both formal and informal, with the countries that Iran is going after, just as they're going after us. In other words, there's a common interest between the United States, the Saudis, the UAE, Abu Dhabi, Bahrain, those are the Gulf states, Israel, Jordan, Egypt. Okay, so that's where you build the foundation of your foreign policy. Trump did that. We had stability in the Middle East, and we had the Abraham Accords, and we were on the way, I think, to a lasting kind of stability, a higher level of peace than we've known before. Well, Biden goes back to thinking Iran can be our ally. And so everything he's done to implement that policy has hurt our interests, unfreezing their assets, lifting the embargoes, allowing them to sell oil as a practical matter. We do delisting the Houthis off the terrorist list. They're an Iranian ally. And of course, what have the Iranians done? They've taken the money we've given them and they've used that to strengthen their proxies to attack our forces. I, you know, the difficulty with convincing, Tim, you've been in this position politically. The difficulty with convincing people is that the policy is so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
People are reluctant to believe that anybody could actually be doing it, but mm-hmm. they're doing it.
It could be that bad. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Speaking with Jim Talent, former U.S. Senator and chairman of the Reagan Institute's National Leadership Council. Senator, as you know, roughly a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we approved $60 billion worth of aid and ammunition to Ukraine. Recently, it was announced that Putin is replacing Russia's defense minister. Is there a connection there?
I don't think so. But, you know, the Kremlin watchers that I read are speculating. First of all, both these people, Sergei Shoigu and Andriy Bulosov, I think is how it's pronounced. They're Putin loyalists. Bulosov is an economist and a technocrat. So this could be Putin's attempt to batten down for the long haul, even beyond this war with Ukraine, and try and attempt something like what the Chinese are doing with their civil military fusion, where they're trying to fuse, if you will, or create such a seamless integration between their military industrial base and the civilian economy that they can be more effective in building up their forces. I don't know. That's some speculation that's out there. I don't think it's going to work because the Russian economy is not the Chinese economy. Let's put it that way. But that's probably what it's about. And he sort of pensioned off Shoigu to a lesser job. That's what he typically does. But I don't know. Maybe they'll get a better handle on it as time goes on. I doubt it's related to the American action. I think there's some he's probably been playing. It's probably more related to the fact that he just won a quote-unquote presidential election. So now he's sort of reshuffling his people as part of that.
Yeah, Senator, I wanted to ask you about that. Of course, Putin was, quote, reelected. We put those in giant air quotes. He begins another six-year term. I think he's maybe the longest serving or is the longest serving president of the country. More like
Tsar Nicholas,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, more like official dictator. The sub-headline on Fox News is that Moscow has another 100,000 troops ready to join the front lines in Ukraine. Defense spending has been increased by almost 70%. Senator, is there any kind of like opposition in Russia? I mean, or does everybody get immediately sent to the gulag like Navalny? And so there really is no organized opposition because Putin has such a death grip on the rest of the country that people are just, you know, they're either scared or they're brainwashed with the propaganda.
Well, he does a good job as an autocrat of combining repression and doing it, you know, effectively, along with avoiding alienating or really creating a lot of discontent among the centers of influence and power that he cares about. So, for example, he has not to this point fully mobilized the Russian state or the Russian economy behind this war. He's gotten most of the conscripts, you know, he's emptied the prisons. He goes to the rural areas and rounds people up. You know, he's not taking the sons of prominent families in Moscow and St. Petersburg. He's offering a lot of money to get people to serve. So he's careful, you know, not to do things that create too much dissent at the same time. And then he's very good. I mean, these guys get good at this, at repression. And, you know, who do you put in jail? Who do you just threaten? You know, who do you just take their job away from? So I don't see him in an unstable position at all. I think he's there for a while. And look, the problem is not that he's, from our perspective, is not that he's a dictator. The problem is that he's structuring his foreign policy. Basically, it's characterized by the fact that he's adversarial to American security and American interests, and not just in Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
but also in the Middle East with his alliance with Iran, and of course in the Far East, where he's declared his unlimited friendship with Xi Jinping and the Chinese. That's the big problem from our point of view.
Finally, Senator, I want to ask you about Russia. U.S. reported last week or a couple of weeks ago that Russia has used chemical weapons in their war against Ukraine. They used a chemical that causes choking, and it's used for riot control. Your thoughts on that, and why have we heard more about Russia using chemical weapons in their battle against Ukraine?
Well, it's quite possible. I mean, he certainly would have no scruples about it. Now, I doubt it's going to be a battlefield weapon because he doesn't want, I mean, the Russian soldiers would be affected also. But yes, I could see it as a means of control in the occupied areas. I mean, Bashar Assad's done it quite liberally in Syria, and Putin's been propping him up. So I'm not sure why we haven't heard more. You know, I think we probably want to wait for greater confirmation of that. But yeah, he didn't have any scruples against it. He'll do it. I mean, that's the kind of person he is. And just like Hamas, I mean, they're responsible for every civilian death in Gaza. Mm. It's a strategy for them. Okay. It's something that the Israelis want to avoid, but it's a strategy for Hamas. They kill their own civilians. Mm. If you try and get the food that the Biden administration has insisted be sent into Gaza, and you don't let Hamas get it, they'll shoot you. They shoot people in the back of the head because they're hungry. Mm. You know who's done the most for the Palestinians in the last couple of decades? I don't know if we've talked about this in the show. The Israelis have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It really is true. I mean, when they did occupy the country, they did their best to create an economy there. They basically built the hospital everybody talks about. They certainly greatly expanded it. The Arab world doesn't care, and Hamas just sees them as a, first of all, represses them tremendously, and then sees them as a tactic, as a strategy in the war.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I agree, and you are
We're
right.
We're living in a world of moral inversion, fellas, when we have pro-Hamas people on campuses, this enormous outbreak of anti-Semitism and support for barbarians. But I don't know. I mean, you know, weren't you greatly disillusioned when you saw that Greta Thunberg was supporting Hamas? I mean, didn't I had her up on a pedestal, too, guys.
Took down all your posters of her. Yeah.
What are you going to do with your signed picture of her? Are you going to put that on eBay and get rid of that?
I don't know. I mean, it was a hard moment for me when I saw that.
Senator, thank you so much for your time, as always, and we look forward to speaking with you again next week, sir.
Okay, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Former Senator Jim Talent.